Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a space for those who are healing from complex and developmental trauma. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach, survivor, and thriver. The intent of the podcast is to provide helpful information with insight that can validate, encourage, and support you on your healing journey. You're going to hear stories from other survivors and trauma experts, featuring therapists, coaches, and practitioners. We will open up the conversation on effective trauma healing modalities, practices, and tools. If you are interested in trauma recovery coaching, as well as recommended books and healing resources, head over to www.thehealingtraumapodcast.com. And now, here is your host, Monique Coven.
This episode is sponsored by Tyndale House Publishing. Change your brain every day. 366 days to a better brain, mind, and life. Psychiatrist and clinical neuroscientist Dr. Daniel Amen draws on over 40 years of clinical practice overseeing the treatment of tens of thousands of patients to give you the most effective daily habits he has seen to help you improve your brain, master your mind, and boost your memory, and help you feel happier, healthier, and more connected to those you love. Pre-order is now available at Tyndale.com. Welcome back. On today's episode, I'm talking with a former guest who's been with us before. You may recognize his voice from the beautiful British accent that he has, and also at the beginning of every episode, and that's Owen Morgan. Owen has been with us talking about his journey of healing and coming to the understanding that some of his physical symptoms were related to past trauma. On this episode, he's going to be talking more about his more recent journey. And I think it's going to be really relatable to a lot of us. So now, on to the episode. Hi, Owen. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back on. And it's strange. I said to you to off recording, it's been a little while since I've jumped on the microphone. So it's going to be really cool today to see what comes out of my heart and soul this time.
Yeah, the last time you were on was quite a while. You talked about, I think, your healing experience, your background, your what growing up was like, and how trauma impacted your body. And as we know, the healing journey is, there's no prediction for how long it's going to be. And I think we just continue to heal our entire life. I know people don't want to hear that, but it doesn't mean that good changes don't happen and we don't see that. But there always seems to be layers and more work to do. And so that's why I wanted you to come back, because I know there's been some healing and some work going on in your own life since we've talked. And I wanted to know if you want to share it here.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, it's been interesting, you know, the hundreds of people I've interviewed and all the books that I've read, all the videos I've watched, all the episodes of yours that I've edited for you, listen to all those conversations. It's been really fascinating to get this kind of conceptual understanding of what it is to heal, especially from trauma, and to live an abundant life. And conceptually, I know so much and I can hold a space for others. And it's been really beautiful being in the industry and massage, all that good stuff. But when it came down to it and I really came into my body, especially through some relationship issues recently, is this feeling in my gut, this swirling feeling of dread, this kind of shut down, hideaway feeling. I've had it since I was a kid. I know it very well. I've worked with it. I'm high functioning. You know what that's all about, high functioning. still can achieve things. But when I come back to my body, that feeling is still there on and off. I thought, wow, after 10 years of NLP, hypnotherapy, CBT, some yoga here, some of this, some experiencing here, those energies are still stuck in my body. And it's like, oh God, I'm 39, 10 years, whoa. So it's kind of this sense of, what do I need to do now? And it's been really interesting because it's been pretty simple. I've still avoided my body. I've still not come into it to let it teach me its wisdom and tell me where the pain is and for me to hold it. And I've needed somebody to take me through a course, a 12-week course, to be with me, to witness to me, let me cry, let me shake. I've avoided my body for too long, and enough was enough. So I'll pass back to you, see if there's any questions from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all relate to that feeling that's inside that we often want to avoid. And that makes so much sense because it's a charge, it's activation. And it feels, I think it's the reminder of that original. It's that original feeling that we felt that we can feel in the present. And I think that that's what's so terrifying, is that it's there. We don't want it to be there because we're not there anymore physically and chronologically. So I get that. And yeah, I guess my question is, I mean, I hear you saying that even though you've done all this work, you still recognize that it was still there. So I guess my question would be, like, how did that show up? How did you realize, like, oh gosh, it's still here?
It's interesting because I think it's when you get quite good at avoiding your body. So I like to think about it is that I left my body when I was 3 or 4. So I left my body a long time ago to deal with the abuse and the trauma and everything else. And I've never really gone back into it fully and in a full wholeness. So that's, you know, 35, 36 years later. And unfortunately for everybody that's listening, and I'm sure they appreciate this, and as a holistic psychologist always says, you've got to do the work. And that's not just with your therapist. That's on a daily basis. And I'm getting emotional just talking about this because I'm more in my body now. So I seem to be crying a lot more all of a sudden because I'm in my body and the stuff's coming up and it's ready. But it's hard. And I'm sure people appreciate that. It's horrible at times that, well, there's so much pain in my body. I can feel it come up. Oh, I don't like it. Put it away. But you have to find a safe space, a safe person, whatever, the tools to let that energy come up. And because that energy was coming up, this dread feeling was the one that always said, hi, it's like my little O, my little child. Hey, I need you. I need your help. And it's been with me the whole time. That was the only one that really always was there. So that's why I had to begin. I had to start breathing into that feeling, seeing what the message was. What's the message? What's the message? And just to give some people listening a little sense of how these somatic things, as we sort of come into the body, they can come out of nowhere. As soon as you're in your body, oh my God, this feeling, this feeling, this feeling. I was driving to my dad's. I was going to have my second session with my coach. And I felt this weird sense of sadness come up. I was like, right, I'm going to ask a question. Ask the body a question. What is this? And this sentence came to me because I had listened to a podcast the night before, which is I said to myself, I am not good enough. And I burst into tears driving along the road. I am not good enough. It resonated so deeply, those words, burst into tears. And I did it again, a little bit further down the road. It happened again. And I did it again. And I did it again. I was like, right, okay, so this sensation, this somatic experience somehow feels like it's linked to realizing all the decisions I've made in my life, all the things that I haven't finished, all the things I didn't complete, all the projects that didn't go as they needed to, all the jobs I didn't take was all because I didn't feel good enough. And there was a somaticness to that. It was in my stomach. It's dread. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're not good enough. Oh, that's too scary. Don't do that. And I've kept my world very small as a consequence. So I live in a little flat and I work nights in a low paid job. And that's fine, but it's a shame And I'm getting emotional about thinking about it now. It's a shame. I have so much more to offer the world. But that somatic experience that I was avoiding kept my whole world small. And to know that I'm not good enough now is the way I can heal. Hold my inner child and say, we are good enough, even though all those people are horrible to us. And though our parents weren't able to hold us in the pain, let's do it now. And that's somatic, not conceptual. So I'll leave it there for now.
I'm thrilled to share that I'm going to be taking part once again in the 2023 Trauma Super Conference alongside 60 plus of the world's most respected trauma experts, including Dr. Peter Levine, Dr. Stephen Porges, Dr. Gabor Maté, Dr. Richard Schwartz, Dr. Bruce Lipton, and so many others. Some of the topics are going to be healing our collective trauma, understanding and healing relational trauma, somatic methods for trauma integration, navigating chronic pain and inflammation, and so much more. To register for this free conference, go to my link in the show notes. See you there.
Yeah. I see you getting emotional, and I feel with you. Yeah, I there's a lot of tenderness there, because I think when we feel that sensation and we recognize too that it's related to some real deep grief of not only feeling the pain of believing we're not worthy or not being seen, but not having anybody be with us to validate us. And even you just like being with it is something very big, not to minimize, because for so long nobody has seen it, nobody has felt it, and you were able to just be with it and let it know that you see it and you feel it. So yeah, it's very painful. And I think that recognizing the grief of that all is the first step, like recognizing it and feeling that, yeah, wow, that's huge. Did you find when you approached or you spoke or connected with your inner child that it got easier, that it got harder? Like, what was that like for you?
I think the key component of it all was the separation between me today and who I call little O. So when I'm doing my coaching with my coach, you'd think of him as little O. But what we're noticing, that the more I talk about it in every session, the more I'm still keeping us separate. So it's we're in it together. I'm going to help him. But at some point, I need to embody my inner child as being just me. It's good to have the separation to begin with, so you can get a sense of your experience when you were a kid. But what made it easier is when I sort of brought him more under my wing. I could spend the rest of my life walking through the park, imagine my little child holding my hand and saying, it's going to be all right. It's going to turn out okay. That's great. But I could just keep doing that forever. But at some point, I need to let him into my heart together so we can feel more somatic sensations. I have no idea what's going to come up next. I'd blocked out a lot of memories already. When I started this journey, I discovered a lot of them, the abuse memories that I'd suppressed. Who knows? There could be more, right? There could be some more coming up. And that's the journey of spending every day in my body. So doing my breath work and doing my deep stretching. I used to hate doing deep breathing stuff. It makes me really anxious, which I thought was interesting in itself. I struggled to do deep breathing. But I found a breathing technique which doesn't make me anxious, just get me going. In through the nose, out through the nose really helps me. And every time I do it, I get some emotional sensation just from breathing. Could be sadness, could be giggling. It's just something somatic happening. If I do it every day, I'm going to have more capacity to hold the next sensation tomorrow. And it's interesting that you mentioned grief, and I'm saying this for my inner child to see if it's linked to that. But about 3 days ago, my dreams are insane. I'm so conceptual. I live so conceptually that when I go to bed, my brain just can't not be conceptual. So it's just dreams, 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 dreams. It's exhausting. But the other day, for the first time ever, honestly, 39 years, the first time ever, I had a subject matter of losing somebody. So I imagined that I'd lost my partner, who I obviously love very much. And she had died in my dream, and it was horrific. And I dreamt about people comforting me and me talking about the good times and how I'd get through this. And it was so, even when I was asleep, it felt somatic. It was weird. Then I woke up and I felt this, I've never felt anything like it, this intense grief sensation that I don't recall feeling before. It was a new feeling. And I was like, wow, you know, let's not psychoanalyze this. Did I lose somebody and I blocked it out when I was a kid and I never processed it? Is it grieving the inner child, whatever happened to him? Is it grieving what I haven't done in my life? It doesn't matter. All that matters is that's the first time ever I've had that sensation. And it was amazing and powerful. So when I get tomorrow, I must do some more breathing. I must go onto that amazing mountain by my house, this big open space, come into my body, do the work, keep getting up. It's hard, keep getting up. And sadly, we have to do it. Otherwise, I'm not going to be in my body and feeling connected. I struggle to connect to people deeply. I know that. And it's because I'm not in my body, not because I can't. I'm not in my body. So of course I can't deeply connect because I have no idea what connection feels like because I left my body when I was 3 years old. So if I want the dream, I said to my coach, what do I want for me, my inner child? It's peace, connection, and joy. The three things I really struggle to feel, peace, connection, joy. Peace, connection, joy. That's my mission, peace, connection, joy. And I think all three of those, I don't know if you agree, all three of those things require you to be embodied to feel any of those, peace, connection, joy. You have to be embodied to fully feel it. So, yeah, what do you think about those three? I call it the PCJ. That's they're my three foundations that I need.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. You can't imagine trying to describe to somebody what peace feels like. Oh, it feels it feels like nothing. It feels like the absence of stress. So yes, you have to experience it to feel it. And I like what you were saying about how you felt a new sensation. And for many of us, even feeling like safety is a new experience. They don't know what that feels like because they haven't felt safe and embodied, at least for a period of time. So some of these feelings are new. So what were you asking me about those three things?
Yeah, I was trying to think, you know, because my goals were peace, connection, and joy. I was like, what? And then I started to think, wow, maybe those are the three foundations of life, peace, connection, joy. I think we're all wired to want connection, obviously, to survive. I think we all, on some level, want a level of contentment and peace. And I also think we all want to feel connected to some passion, things we love, the joy of life, not happiness, that's different, but joy. And I was like, is there anything missing other than safety underpinning those three? And I thought, wow, this is a message I need to go out and do on podcasts and whatever, is to share these three things that I've been lacking and have kept my world very small. And being somebody that has lived in the conceptual mind for so long, coming back to my body is very hard, but with a mindfulness practice of, okay, back to the body. Thoughts, back to the body. You just got to keep doing it. And eventually there'll be some equilibrium there. But as far as I was thinking, that those three components are really important. I just wonder what your thoughts are, all the people you've interviewed, if you've noticed a pattern of people trying to get those free, or that's the thing that was getting blocked by trauma.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about it. What was that comment that Frank Anderson, who was on our podcast before, he's a psychiatrist who specializes in IFS. What did he say about? No, it was love blocks, trauma blocks love. But I think that trauma blocks connection, trauma blocks the capacity to feel joy to some extent. Trauma blocks the ability to relax enough or be still enough to feel peaceful without dissociating. So I think, yeah, I mean, I would say we all want all those things. And I my experience is that I too was conceptualizing all of these things, especially as I was younger, because I had no experience of what real peace was, real joy was, real connection, because I grew up in a very, I didn't have attachment, I didn't have safety, I didn't have relational safety with really any safe adults. And so I conceptualized that, oh, joy is it's having these it's traveling, it's having, you know, excess material things, it's this, because that's what I thought. But as I healed, I started to realize, oh my goodness, joy and peace, those things are embodiment. It's getting the experience of that tickled feeling in your stomach when you're snuggling with your pet. That's joy. That's peace. I want that. And it's those small things, the connection with someone who listens to you, and there's a to and fro. There's, it's not just give, 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 give. Like, oh, you know, that experience just, it you feel alive. You feel, it's those things, those small things that make life, to me, really beautiful.
I love that. Thanks so much. It's a very poetic chat we're having here today, I feel. And I think it's, we have, you know, we think about Bezel and body keeps a score, and that's, you know, a big part of the trauma healing journey now, is to feel what we feel. But the body also has the answers. So not only does it keep the score of what's going on and how it needs to survive, and it's a healing machine if we allow it to do its thing, it's also, it's the knowing. The body is the knowing. It knows kind of what you care about and what you're passionate about. I think a lot of these things that we have come from a guttural place. You know, I really care about this, or I'm really creative, I'm really passionate about my art or music or whatever. These are all embodiment things. I think poetry and music and theater comes up from the body and we express ourselves. I think it's hard to use the mind for many things other than problem solving, getting the basics of life sorted, and to teach and educate. Exceptional mind's amazing, but we need to live through the body. I think for so many trauma survivors, it's very hard to do that. And when you live through mind, everything always changes. Your thoughts always change, which means your decisions change, your interests change. You lose track. Who am I? I don't know who I am. You can't do that from your mind because your thoughts always change. So there's no sense of self there. Your sense of self is embodied inside you. And this 12-week journey I'm going on at the moment, God knows what I'm going to be like in May when I finish, how free I will feel. And I think, I hope that's an important message to anybody, that even if you're working with a therapist or not, is to know that if you just stay on track and keep coming into your body in a safe way, and then things come up, there's hope.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that because we have these bodies, these nervous systems that are dysregulated. I know we don't like that word, so I like to say we have bodies that are that really operate out of self-protection. So that could look like we have all this anxious energy. We're chronically, like, maybe uptight or hypervigilant, or the other extreme, kind of disconnected, no energy, collapsed feeling. Those experiences are what are dysregulation. We don't have the normal, and the people I work with have seen me do this. You're seeing me, this up and down. Like, it's like we get activated and then we come back down to a place of sort of neutral, up again, down. We don't have that. So in a sense, we're sort of, there's not a lot of flexibility. And I think part of healing trauma is helping our nervous systems to get a little bit, I'm doing this with my arms, but I'm just to become a little bit more flexible so that we can have that, we get activated and then we come back down. So it's really important that we have practices that do that. So that's where we do have to do the work, the daily practice of helping our nervous system regulate, because it is, if we've had complex trauma and our nervous systems are shaped this way, we need to help our nervous systems. 1 hour a week in therapy not going to do it. Definitely it's going to help, but we have to do the daily work in our life every day to support our nervous systems.
It's so true. It's like, you know, we're talking about polyvagal theory and, you know, being ventral. It's like, expose your body to ventral, expose it to something different. It doesn't have to be necessary to do with the healing you're doing or anything like that, but just try and tune into what makes your body feel a little bit better, just a little bit, and expose yourself to it daily, just so you can, like you said, get this pendulation thing. It's swinging back and forth. So rather than you having to go into trauma, coming back to neutral, trauma, neutral, why not have trauma, neutral, and then at the other end, like real curiosity and fun and going out and doing things. So you're just exposing your life, your being to new experiences, which feel fairly safe, obviously. But I think it's this combination of, yeah, being neutral, swinging towards the trauma feeling, and then swinging out to good stuff. So, you know, as I'm working with my coach, I have like little bits of homework to do each week, which slowly increase my body awareness. So the breath's been a game changer. So that will remain. Then, you know, I have to do sort of touching. So I'm a massage therapist anyway. So, you know, massaging my legs or just, and feeling what that feels like, you know, it should feel really nice. So they're really simple things. We're not going to be tackling all my stuff, but we're just getting myself in a body in a really nice way. Because I think a lot of people with trauma, for example, may have a lot of problems with intimacy. So whether it's love, it can also be sexual issues too, you know, being able to be really intimate because their body's scary. It's like, you can't just jump into trying to sort out your sex life. What you can do is what I just said, is just massage your legs or just anything that makes your body feel nice and safe and good and worthy. And we'll deal with that other stuff later. But it's a slow titration. I know it's really frustrating for so many of us. But hey, I've been doing this for 10 years and I'm still here. So I think a couple more weeks will be fine.
Weeks? Wow.
If I keep breathing like this, who knows what's coming next? It's really exciting. Because this swirling dread thing is rooted in me. So I'm really excited in many ways and curious to find out where that dread started. I don't need to know what happened, but just where it originated from, so I can meet it now and say, right, let's release this, dispel this, whatever it was. Maybe it is, I'm good enough. I need to keep saying it, reparent myself, perhaps. Who knows? But I think you're right. I think if we can show our bodies alternatives in life, then again, that gives us just a more enjoyable experience of being alive, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I really feel for the parts of us that didn't have the validation or anyone to go to with that tremendous amount of overwhelm and fear. And today we get to help our bodies to feel, almost be updated to that, though you might feel that way today in this moment, we're okay. And we can't do that, as you said, with the brain, with the mind, with just talking our way there, because that doesn't change the embodied feeling. We have to show it. We have to show it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This was a great conversation, a little conversation, a lot to think about, a lot of thought. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I think people recognize you from the amazing, I've always liked your voice. So those of you who've been listening to this podcast for a couple of years now noticed probably that I changed my, it was me at the beginning of the introduction, welcome to the, and then I thought, I'm going to use Owen's voice because it's, I love it. And so glad that I did. So thank you so much for all that you do. Beautiful voice. And yeah, thank you for today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I think I've always loved your show, and to be part of it behind the scenes, editing and stuff has been really, really cool, because as a podcaster, it can get a bit lonely, can't it, when you're hosting. So it's nice, to have a fellow podcaster that you kind of bounce back and forth off. And when I get back into podcasting at some point this year, I'm really excited to reconnect with all my podcast friends, because it's a really special place to make a difference in the world. So I'm hoping anybody's listening who enjoys podcasts get value. And that's all we want, right? For them to walk away with a piece of gold that can help.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.